This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? That was a good one.
Brought some genuine
you
fake
did.
Enthusiasm today.
Oh, it's
Let's
fake?
Go.
Why would you admit that it's fake?
Well,
what's the matter with you? Are you hungover today?
I am not hungover.
Big Monday night?
No.
Out on the town?
It was a big Monday night out on the town.
Oh, I don't know. Probably the drunks, the kids.
Yeah, alcoholics, derelicts.
So my kid came over today.
Yeah? Was he drunk and hungover?
No, he was at the gym.
Oh.
But he said that...
He was squatting and thrusting.
So there's some people visiting from out of town.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to the, do you know who Charlie XCX is?
Yes.
So they're going to that show tonight?
Oh, that'll be, there. Yeah.
And so.
Gotta go deep.
He said, I'm going to stop by because my friends, you know, they just want to meet my parents, you know.
Yeah.
So he stops by around 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's like, well, where are your friends? And he's like, well, they got too drunk at lunch.
Yeah.
And they're sleeping it off because
Boy.
We have a big
So they got
a big concert tonight.
They got lunch drunk and had to go back and nap.
Yeah, which I thought, you know, that's kind of weak. You're on vacation, power through. But
sure.
I also respect it on the other hand that hey, you got a big night ahead of you.
Yeah.
You know you probably can't power through the whole thing, so let's go ahead and get some shut eye now and
yeah, I am gonna judge because no offense, you cowards. There's no way that I could get drunk enough at lunch to not be able to power through the entire night.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
I mean, come on. That's amateur hour.
It's, well, they're 24.
Yeah, I was going to
25.
Say, yeah.
I mean,
you had a couple White Claws, did you? And you got a little sleepy?
First of all, the mid-lunch drinking is mimosas. And shouldn't they stay awake?
I think that is what they were drinking. What? What do you mean?
Well, 24-year-old, like, come on,
man. By the way, Will Ortner, everybody.
Yes.
He is in for...
Ryan Buckley. He's on Kid Bean.
Yeah, Ryan Buckley.
At 24, you should be able to drink more and stay awake longer.
Right. That's
I call foul on them, their part.
Well, I was telling my wife that. I'm like, when we were that age, I don't know if we paced, because I don't think we did.
Yeah.
We were just, you know, throttled
all gas,
down.
You know.
But... Yeah. I also think we didn't have to really nap. Like, you just
no
partied, and then you did it again.
That's what a Four Loko's for. You know, throw some caffeine in your system, you know, maybe some other stuff, and get going.
So very controversial.
I was going to say. No, I did not. I don't think I did anything last night. No.
Why don't you have real enthusiasm? The NBA season starts tonight.
Boy, can I be honest? Hand to God, I found that out at like 8:30 this morning. I was like, oh yeah, the NBA,
two games,
starts.
Two big games. Yeah,
and one of them, like, what?
I've already seen the you know how the guys walk into the locker room and they have to show off their fashion.
Yeah, do the fashion.
Yes.
Now it's the you got to have the toiletry kit, the shave kit.
Correct.
That's the big one now. You gotta flex on.
Yeah, LeBron is wearing 70s bell bottoms.
Yeah,
and a 70s. Like sport coat?
Of course he is. I want LeBron to go full like 1970s man but like grow the side hair. Because the black man side hair, aka the George Jefferson, or if you'd prefer the Ron Washington, it's the most powerful hairdo that you can have.
That would be cool if he did that because he could.
He could.
Because he's bald enough on top.
Yes.
He could do that.
If he, I am not a huge LeBron guy, but I'm also not one of those guys that just like randomly hates on LeBron. Like, the Skip Baylesses of the world.
Well, it's not really random. He brings a lot of...
Well, I understand. But, like, if you deny LeBron James's greatness, you're a moron. Like, whether you think he's the best or the second best, or I guess maybe if you want to throw Kareem, like, is there any you can't argue that he's not at least the third best player of all time. But there's still people that try to tear him down. I'm not one of those. I'm just not.
Well, I don't think we try to tear down his playing ability.
He's just kind he's of just he's a baby.
He's a donkey.
And he's a douche. And like he's always.
He's kind of fake.
Oh, 100%. Like, I don't know how he doesn't get more of the A-Rod, like Russell Wilson. Like,
I don't either.
He's as phony as any of those guys. But he's better than them. So, you know, you give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't hate on LeBron indiscriminately, but I do think he's just a giant eye roll. But if he were to ever come out and embrace being an old man and do the Ron Washington side hair and just let his beard go full gray and start showing up and using terms like jive turkey, he would be my favorite player of all time.
Yeah, maybe like add a strut.
Yes.
You know, like a real exaggerated strut.
Oh, just fully, just be Shaft. Like, do the black man side here. But
don't shoot anyone.
No, you don't want to do that.
We don't want that.
Well, but, you know, or, like, slap women around. Like, Shaft's...
Yeah, don't do that.
Shaft's kind of problematic.
You were saying don't do that, right?
Don't.
Right.
I, like, embrace Shaft, but modern Shaft. Shaft now, because those are, like, some of my favorite movies. They're problematic when you go back and watch them. There's a lot of, like, Shaft, can't
Well, it was a different time.
Like, some girl would like talk S to Shaft, and then he would smack her around, and then somehow like he'd end up sleeping with her, and you're like, you can't.
Sean Connery would love that.
Sean would love that. And
that
again,
was his favorite film.
You can't do that nowadays.
Sometimes you gotta smack a bitch.
He said that to Barbara Walters.
Dude, I know that Will doesn't even know who Sean Connery is, but he said that.
He was like James Bond at one point.
He was James Bond.
Right?
Yes.
James Bond or a villain. He's in like the movie where they go to Alcatraz, him and Nick Cage.
There you go. He was James Bond. He was the I don't know who you're
Dwayne
your
Johnson's
James Bond
in it?
Is probably what, Daniel Craig?
Yeah. I never Who's saw your... any of those, but yeah, I think that's the guy who it is.
Okay.
I'm not a Bond guy. I'm more of an Austin Powers guy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I can see that. Or maybe like the Mission Impossible or the Bourne movies.
Yeah, it's gonna be no there, but no.
I like Reacher.
Oh, there you go. You're too old. You're too young for the Bourne movies, too?
Nah, they just, like, I don't know. They never got in there. John Wick?
Yeah,
I like those. Those are good.
He was our John Wick. But he sat down for an interview with Barbara Walters, and Barbara Walters talked to him about he had a problematic past of, beating women. And on national television, on 60 Minutes, he was like, well, sometimes they get a little out of line, and you just got to give them a little...
Smack them around a little bit.
You got to smack them around. Everyone's like, Sean. And yet, nothing happened to him.
Well, nothing happened to him at the time, and I don't think anybody really batted an eye at the time.
Yeah.
It only came out when he died.
Yeah. Then we were like,
and then it's like, we got to remember. Different time.
Yeah.
Different time.
So again, LeBron embraced Shaft.
But it really wasn't
the
a different
spirit
time.
Of Shaft, but...
Yeah.
A modern,
you know, the Vancouver Ford text line says that Greg Oden could have pulled off a great 70s
yes,
look. Knee-high socks.
Yeah, he had that.
Knee pads, big hair, goggles.
Yes.
God, he really could
have. You're telling me LeBron?
And his Chevy Avalanche.
Yeah, he spent his paycheck, his signing bonus on a Chevy Avalanche. Yeah, LeBron could totally do it. Was that Nate Thurman, right? He's built like him. Knee-high socks, the knee pads. Let's do it. Embrace the whole thing.
I agree with you on that. I hope he does. I mean, he did walk into the arena tonight, very 1970s.
Yeah.
So maybe he does come out
in
that.
He's too lame to do any of that.
You know, he's playing with his kid tonight.
Yeah, that's
Bronny.
That's the other one where...
They're going to lob to each other.
Are they, like... Did you see any of his preseason stuff?
No, are you kidding me?
No. I'm just saying, like, any of the stat lines.
No.
The last game, I think, against, like, no one, I think he actually had a nice game. But before that, I think he was averaging less than a point a game. Like, he is not an NBA player, and yet they're going to force early on, they're going to force those two on the court together for, like, a photo op.
That's what LeBron wants.
Yeah.
He runs the team. He's a man of increase.
He is a man of increase.
Being a man of increase?
I think we should all be men of increase. You know, if we can.
Yeah, somebody said NBA starts today, so hurry because you only have 7 months to see a game.
I was listening to my favorite show, Dirt and Sprague, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was out taking the dog for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, NBA. And Celtics and Knicks, you know, that's kind of fun, I guess.
I don't think so. Not in November.
But then, like, Lakers, Timberwolves.
Or wait, it's October.
I'm like, yeah, what? Yeah.
I mean, well, who cares about any of it?
I don't know. Well, not me.
Again, wake me up. just after the trade deadline. Every year I push it back a little further.
You do.
Wake me up in March.
I do like that it keeps, much like LeBron's hairline, it keeps receding. You keep pushing it back further and further.
I think even the league and the players take it further and further. Like Joel Embiid somehow the start of the season snuck up on him. I mean, come on, man. The players don't even care. Well, yeah. Why should I care if the players don't care? I used to say, wake me up in January, but that was way too early. Then I said, wake me up at the trade deadline. That's usually in February. Now I'm saying, wake me up in March. And quite frankly, next year I will probably say, wake me up in April.
Yeah, Embiid's out for at least the first week with a knee issue. Kawhi's out indefinitely.
Exactly.
He just doesn't play.
They're all in and out. Well, you know. Just...
Yeah. Hey, get excited about the Blazers.
Damn it!
I got the NHL on. I got that.
You do?
I like the NHL.
Don't we all have that, or is it just you?
Well, I don't know. You have them talking about some Jane Daniels' wrist injury, or rib injury.
It is a rib injury, yeah.
Rib, not wrist.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, am watching Ovechkin try to break the all-time gold record.
Yeah, Tuesdays suck because... the weekend of sports is over, like Monday Night Football and all that.
Yeah.
And then, but now we have to wait two more days.
Yeah, I know.
For anything good.
Well, yeah.
Because the stupid World Series, the World Series
Friday.
Should start tonight.
No.
Why does it not start tonight?
Because it's all the
dates
are all
set. But I thought
they
changed that.
No.
No, they did.
Did they?
I thought we talked about this, that they changed it in the event that one team closed out way before the other. I think the only problem here was that they closed out roughly the same time, so they didn't move it. But I think they changed it to where they could flex it.
Hmm.
But I'm not positive. That might have been another sport.
I know that they're not flexing ass, and this game isn't going to start till Friday.
I mean, they have the stage tonight.
Yes.
Right? Well, actually, they don't. The NBA does. Maybe that's why they didn't.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Because then the rest of the
NBA
team...
You're telling me that the World Series wouldn't kick the living hell out of...
Well, it would, but I think they want their own...
Yeah, their own...
So Friday night. So tonight is two NBA games... Tomorrow is a bunch of NBA games. Thursday is Thursday Night Football. Friday is kind of their own stage.
Did you see the get-in price to game one of the World Series?
Yeah, I read that it was like over $1,000.
$1,300 get-in price for a single seat to get in.
So the real fans will be there?
Yeah. Which, you know, my goal was, I had a buddy of mine who was in L.A., and he went to game six, Dodgers Mets, and he was trying to get me to come down. And I was like, I held out hope. That they would go to the World Series. Because I said, if they're going to go to the World Series, I can't afford to do both.
A calculated risk?
Calculated risk. But I knew.
But game six,
I know.
They were done.
I knew. But I was holding out hope. And I'm glad I didn't go down to game six because it just would have depressed me. They got their teeth kicked in.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game.
But now that the Mets season is over, while it was sad, at the same time, if you're a Mets fan, great season. No one feels bad. It sucks that it's over, but hell of a year. Once I saw the World Series ticket prices and everything, I was kind of like, well, I wasn't going anyways.
Maybe you should have gone.
Maybe I should have gone
to
down
game six.
To game six.
That would have been your best bet. Financially.
My buddy got a decent seat, he said, for like, I think it was like $375.
Well, if you want to go to the World Series, I learned this when the Royals were in the World Series, wait until it goes to a game six or game seven.
Yeah.
Those tickets are actually cheaper.
Cheaper, yeah. Game one.
Now, for Yankees, Dodgers, it may not be.
It may not be.
But for the Royals, it was because all the people in Kansas City blew their wad on games one, two, and what? Six.
Yeah. Although, you know, the idea of paying $1,300 to sit in the outfield at Dodger Stadiums and possibly get shanked. Like, have you ever sat in the outfield at Dodger Stadium?
No, but I've heard about it.
It is.
The bleachers.
Yeah, it's.
It's rough out there.
It is.
Yeah. You'd fit right in.
No, I don't. I don't know if you're aware of what I look like, but I can assure you I don't fit in.
Well, just bring your knife.
I did buy I don't know if I still have it, but I did buy a Dodger shirt when I was at Dodger Stadium last because my seat was in the outfield, and I thought it better that I just kind of blend in.
That'd be
rough.
Smart.
Well, I wasn't wearing the other team's gear, but I was wearing a t-shirt that happened to be the color of the other team, and I realized
that's good enough for the perps.
Where I was sitting was not a good idea, so I went. and this was after like I don't know, maybe one or two innings. I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go buy a Dodgers t-shirt."
That's smart. That's preemptive.
Yes,
because it is rough out there.
It is.
I've heard about the bleachers at Dodger Stadium.
So someone is spending $1,300 to go sit out there. Just be aware.
Look, I don't think that's going to be the same bleacher crowd.
Probably not.
Some of them will be, but a lot of them won't be because it's too expensive, you know.
I would think so, but
they're not men of increase out there.
I just know I'm not wearing
being
Yankee
a man
gear.
Of increase.
If you're wearing Yankee gear, you need to be behind home plate or one of the baselines. You don't want to be in the outfield. Although I do love Dodger Stadium. It's a great place to see a game.
Okay. Well, anyway, we've got some World Series talk, but we don't have to hurry with that because
yeah, Friday.
It's not until Friday.
No.
So what are we going to do today? We're going to talk some football with you guys.
Well, what football are we talking? I was going to say it's Division One, but then I'm like, are we talking the NFL or?
Well, both.
You know, the Buccaneers just keep losing everybody. I mean,
Central Washington's ranked 20th in the D2 poll.
It's Division One football.
Woo, baby.
I saw that.
Go Cats.
I was pouring over those polls today.
Central Wildcats.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Well, yeah, all of it. I mean, the Monday notes, we hardly made a dent yesterday, so we got to get to going. Yeah. Coming up next, we'll start with college football on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's get to polls on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday, we asked you, what did we ask you yesterday? Oh, we asked you which team is better, Oregon or Georgia?
Yeah.
Now, we're in Oregon. I don't know if you know that.
I'm familiar.
So you probably think Oregon wins.
Yeah. Maybe not. I mean.
It did not.
Nah, the reputation of Georgia.
The Ducks did not. Yeah. Georgia, 52%. Oregon, 48%.
It is interesting because Georgia has a loss. Oregon does not. I mean, the wins, I think, are very, very similar other than.
Yeah, there's a lot of respect for Georgia. A
lot of respect for Georgia.
As there should be.
Yeah. Yeah. And but
I mean,
Georgia,
they may have won a title or two.
Georgia certainly has had their weeks where they have not looked the part.
Well, I don't. I mean, they're gettable.
Absolutely.
Alabama got them.
Alabama got them. Kentucky damn near got them.
You know the thing about Georgia?
Is it South Carolina was the other one that damn near clipped them?
Georgia?
Yeah. Georgia had two back-to-back weeks where it was like.
Was it? No, I thought it was Kentucky.
Yo, Kentucky was the one. They lost to Bama, and then they white-knuckled Kentucky, and I'm fairly certain that there was
another one?
There was another week where it was a little dicey for Georgia. I'll take a look. I think it's South Carolina, but, you know, I've been hitting the head a lot. So.
You know, the thing about. I really think there's something to being an underdog.
Sure.
You know, because Oregon was an underdog to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Not that that's why they won. I'm just saying. Like, you just get motivated. Like, Georgia looked like the more motivated team against Texas.
Sure. And yes, like, by the way, South Carolina 27-25.
Georgia just looked like they were pissed about hearing about how good Texas is.
Sure.
You know, and then that can add a little.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you it
hear
helps.
This, you hear this all the time in sports where one team gets tired of hearing the other one's hype. And
Georgia's the one team. I mean, they are the one team where I don't want them on that side. You want them being the hunted, not the hunter.
Well, and this is like what Lanning was talking about and trying to, you know, block out all the outside noise. But, you know, when you get to be number one. There's a difference between everyone patting you on the back and telling you how great you are and someone telling you that you're not good enough. Saban talks about this all the time, that winning the first national title isn't the hard one. It's trying to win the second one and then trying to win the third one, because you get a group of guys, whether it's fair or not, that you just don't work as hard. Like everyone who's ever done anything where you've had to climb to the top of a mountain, whether that's a physical mountain, a financial mountain, whatever. Everyone knows that the hunger and the drive is a lot easier to wake up in the morning when you're trying to get there. But when you're on the top, it's really the truly special ones that are able to maintain that sort of edge. And not very many people can do it. You spend the off season and you get told how great you are, and you know, you go to some parties, and next thing you know, it's just your eyes off the ball a little bit.
Texas certainly did not.
No, they looked terrible.
Well, at least early. I mean, I think they woke up, but I think they were surprised. Georgia surprised them.
Sure.
Georgia punched them straight in the mouth and said, dude, you're not number one. We are. And it.
Well, and there's a.
You got to be ready.
Yeah, there's a weird one. The Ewers interception where the first half where he threw the interception that eventually got him benched. Dude, that is like when you go back and watch that, like it's high school football stuff. Like everyone knows, like when you have a cover two, like a shell look, right? Like it's the most basic coverage in the history of college or any football, right? They teach this in junior high. A cover two look is two high deep safeties and then the two corners are playing the flats, right? Like there's just certain, you cannot throw lazy flat routes in cover two shell looks. Like it will get intercepted. And Georgia, and a lot of times now people are disguising things and they're shifting coverages and rotating safeties. Georgia's just lined up in cover two. It's like, hey, this is cover two. And Quinn Ewers threw it right at him. Like stuff like that shouldn't, like that doesn't happen with whatever you think of Quinn Ewers, whatever you think of Texas, that stuff doesn't happen. Like he could run that play 100 times and he doesn't throw that ball 99. But on one time against Georgia, for whatever reason, he looks at that coverage and is like, well, I'm going to throw the out here. And the guy's just sitting on it and picks it off and goes the other way. And you're like, when they watch the film on that, they're going to ask Quinn Ewers, hey, what the hell were you doing there? And he will not have an answer. He's just going to be like, I don't know. And it felt like that was Texas the entire first half. They just had their head up their ass. And Georgia had that against Bama. That whole first half against Alabama, they had no semblance of what they were doing. And then come the second half, they dug themselves out of the hole. Well, Texas couldn't do it in the second half.
Are you waiting for that from Oregon? Do you feel like that's coming from Oregon?
I will say this. They've had a couple of those games already. One against Idaho and one against Boise State.
That's fair, yeah.
So as the season goes on, I'm willing to, I feel very confident, 100%. That they will have a game where for a half their head will be squarely planted. Now, most good teams are able to pull their head out and then, you know, can you finish off that game? But yes, you are, I 100% believe that Oregon is going to have a game where for a quarter or two, we're going to look at it and be like, this is unacceptable because it's just the nature of football. It's why going undefeated is really hard to do. And you would like to think that maybe those are out of the way because you had those two games early. But you got six games left. Chances are another one of those is coming down the road, and you just hope that you're able to self-correct and not stub your toe.
Might have been the best thing that ever happened to him, having close games against Idaho and Boise State.
Boy, I promise you, the first month of the season, it got their attention. Yep. And you're able to point back to that if you're Dan Lanning, that coaching staff, and be like, boys, you play like we did at the start of the year, and all that stuff goes away. And they were able to put it all together in their biggest game against Ohio State, and Texas wasn't.
All right, today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. We're asking you which fan base should be melting down the most. We have USC, Oklahoma, Florida State, or Oregon State.
Yeah. I hate to do this.
Vote and vote hard. Hey, don't hate anything. Just do it.
I do. I hate it.
Don't do it. You're a man of increase. Men of increase do not hate.
I do hate
to vote.
Being a man of increase?
I hate to vote, but this there's only one vote. It's Oregon State.
Yeah.
It's
why? They're not winning.
They should. It's the wheels have come off. I mean,
Florida State's winning right now.
Well, I mean, the wheels have come off in Florida State.
They were off 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
4 weeks ago.
They're 1-6.
5 weeks ago.
And they're 1-6.
6 weeks ago. Seven weeks ago.
They were undefeated last year. And if Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt, they're in the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's a weird one. How do you explain them?
Boy, well, I mean, a lot of it was transfer portal last year, and so a lot of those guys are gone. And this reminds me a little bit. Dave Bartu always warns this. Remember Michigan State the 1 year that Mel Tucker got the big deal? And that was like Kenneth Walker and, and by the way, Keon Coleman, who ended up going to Florida State, he was from Michigan State. They had all those transfer kids, and everything popped. Well, that was Florida State. They put it all together. Jared Verse and Jordan Travis and all these guys and all these transfers, everything just hit for that 1 year. Well, all those guys left. And then you ended up with DJ, who was a disaster at quarterback. And for whatever reason, there just seems to not be any cohesion or any sort of talent. And they have just fallen off the face of the earth. He's completely lost that locker room. It's an unmitigated disaster.
I guess you're right. Like in the transfer portal NIL era now, we are going to see more teams that inexplicably go from year to year like that.
Yes.
Like normally, that's just really bizarre because in college, you just don't really see that as much, especially with good coaches like Norvell. We know he's a good coach.
Yeah.
It's just... That's really inexplicable to be undefeated and then be 1-6 and just terrible at the bottom of the ACC. So, but maybe you're right. It's just it's all transfers.
There's going to be look at Oregon for
big
example,
swings.
Right? Like, and I'm not saying that they would have fallen off the map, but if you whiff on the transfer portal, look at Oregon, right? Birch, transfer portal. Harmon, transfer portal. Your entire secondary, basically, for Muhammad Savage, transfer portal. Evan Stewart, transfer portal. Tez Johnson, and I know not in 1 year, but you know what I mean? Tez Johnson, transfer portal. Dylan Gabriel, transfer portal. I'm trying to think of who else. Cornelius, transfer portal. I mean, just that alone. Like, if you whiff on half of those kids, right? Half of those don't go your way, then you lose to Ohio State by like two touchdowns. So like they have done a great job of recruiting, but also hitting the transfer portal. But the transfer portal is kind of a boom or bust because USC hasn't hit in the transfer portal. Oklahoma hasn't hit in the transfer portal. Florida State hit 1 year, and this year it completely fell apart. But the nice part is if you're Florida State, you're Florida State, right? You should be able to recruit. You're still in a Power Five or Power Four, right? Like there's a brand there. You would think as quickly as you fell, you should be able to rise back up. Unfortunately, if you're Oregon State, you know, this season this is kind of my fear. Remember at the start of the year where I said, you know, if you lose those early games and then you get blown out against Oregon, where does this thing go? Well, you didn't lose early, but you got blown out by Oregon, and now you've lost back-to-back games against Nevada and UNLV, and now Cal's coming. And I know there's a bunch of injuries, but, you know, Beaver Faithful is kind of throwing up their hands right now. There's no chance of getting into a power conference. This is not what you want. I think if you're a Beaver fan, I think this was your fear, and I don't know where there's a quick turnaround here. This is not good. This was your worst nightmare.
All right, vote and vote hard on X at 1080 The Fan. Which fan base should be melting down the most? Oklahoma, Florida State, USC, or Oregon State? Let's get into our college football carrier pigeon coming up next. What the hell is going on with USC?
Yeah.
But first, Will with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. College football carrier pigeon time. It says right here on the notes, near the top of the notes, because we got to some of this yesterday, but we did not get to USC, who blew another one.
Yep.
And this one to Maryland, who last I checked wasn't that good.
No, they're
not. But maybe they are.
No, they're not. I watched some of that game. I can assure you that Maryland is not very good.
What is up with USC blowing games?
Well, USC, from what I've seen, and now to be fair, I do not watch the USC games the way I watch the Oregon games. I'm certainly not going back and rewatching. I've caught good hunks of several USC games, including these ones that they're blowing. And two things. One, Miller Moss is really talented that makes really bad decisions. Like, and
but
by the way,
isn't it like late in the game he makes bad decisions?
Well, he makes bad decisions sometimes even early in the game. Like, he's problematic. He is. At times he looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And then other times he makes plays that you just sit there and stare at and you're like, dude, what are you doing? Like, these are throws that you cannot make, as the quarterback of a team that wants to be any sort of contender. And then also with USC's defense, I think depth kind of plays a role because I think they get worn down and I think they have inexplicable lapses at the end of ball games. I mean, they did it at the Maryland game. Penn State converted 2 4th and I think 8 pluses on their last drive against Michigan. All they needed to do was tackle Michigan. Michigan had to go on a 2-minute drill and they had the inability to throw the ball. And Michigan ended up breaking like a 65 plus yard run to basically win that game. USC is the best 4-loss team in the country. When you watch USC, you look at them and they say they should be so much better than this. But I think the depth is a concern. I think their top end talent is very, very inconsistent. I think Miller Moss, he's fine, but Miller Moss is not the guy that we thought he was going into the start of season. He is a feast and famine sort of guy. And this is where I'll put it on Lincoln Riley. It's one of the most undisciplined teams in the country. Details matter. And when you look at like kind of the process of putting together a team, and this is true at any level, right? When we see someone like Lanning or, you know, I don't know. That's probably a poor example. Give me someone like Nick Saban, right? Nick, who was a, how many times have you seen Nick Saban at the end of a blowout game or in the second quarter against Tallahassee JUCO and Nick Saban is losing his ass, right? He's freaking out and you're like, dude, calm down. But what he's doing there is he's building in habits that when you do those things, and this is why like Jim Harbaugh comes in and immediately has a team playing better. It's the same players. Why does he get more out of his guys? Because he expects it. Day in and day out, you build habits. You build little things that when you do them correctly over and over and over again, those will manifest itself in the biggest moments. And USC might be the worst team in the country at doing that. They remind me, honestly, of those old DeAnthony Lynn Charger teams that you just cannot trust them at the end of ball games to make simple plays. Because it, I'm telling you, watching USC lose these last 3 weeks, it is not big plays that are killing USC.
So DeAnthony Lynn is the defensive coordinator there?
It's his son that's the defensive coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was with the Chargers with like Staley?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about Anthony Lynn.
Yes.
Right?
I'm talking about
He's the dad.
He's the dad.
He was the coach of the Chargers.
The Chargers that did this exact same thing.
Well, and Staley's Chargers did this too.
Yeah.
To be fair.
And that's where I just put that on.
And now DeAnthony Lynn is Anthony's kid, and he's the defensive coordinator at USC.
Yes.
Maybe Brandon Staley's son would like to coach the Trojans offense.
And they could continue to lose games. They're just...
Yeah, it's weird.
They are the least disciplined, least attention to detail team in college football.
I hate that they suck because now that there is no Pac-12, and they don't suck. I just mean, you know, they're kind of being laughed at. You lose to Maryland. Dude, somebody just texted in, and I looked it up. Maryland lost to Northwestern at home by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, they're not good.
Northwestern.
Yeah.
And they lost to Michigan State. And so USC can't even beat them. The reason that pisses me off a little bit, like I kind of want USC to be good, is because without the Pac-12, I think it makes the Pac-12, the old Pac-12, look really, really bad when USC, one of the flagship programs, goes to the Big Ten and can't even get out of Maryland with a win.
Looks like a bunch of clowns.
Yes. Thank God for Oregon.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the old Pac-12 teams are really adept at blowing games late now. Like Washington did it against Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
USC's done it 3 times. Yep. Cal's done it 3 times, maybe twice. Freaking Colorado blew that game to Kansas State. They had them. I mean, what is going on? Who's winning?
USC has been outscored
by
double digits in the fourth quarter in their last 3 losses. Minnesota, Penn State, Maryland.
That's and, so weird.
You know, when you're, and this is why I feel somewhat bad for the defense and that, again, I just don't think that the overall depth is there and their defense is having to be on the field a bunch and Miller Moss puts them in bad situations because he turns the ball over. But, you know, when you play good defense for three and a half quarters and then in the fourth quarter, the floodgates open, I can maybe excuse a little bit with depth, but a lot of that to me is just coaching or better protect your team. You know, close out games running the ball. Tell your quarterback to not turn it over in big moments. And if you're Lincoln Riley, you got to take a long, hard look in the mirror because it's embarrassing that this USC team is a 4-loss team. The only loss, I can't even say a loss is really legitimate. They were better than Michigan. I thought they were better than Minnesota. That may be the one that, believe it or not, I think that may be the most excusable loss that they've had. No reason to lose to Michigan. No reason to lose to Penn State. No reason to lose to Maryland. So at worst, I'll say that should be a 1-loss team against Minnesota. So when that happens, just like we put it on Lynn, we put it on Staley, this needs to sit on Lincoln Riley's head. And I'm a Lincoln Riley guy. I tend to defend Lincoln Riley because everyone bashes him. I think he's a pretty good coach. Actually, I thought he's a really, really good coach. But at some point, what does Denny Green say? You are, or they are who we thought they are. And at this point,
I think it's were.
Were. Yeah. USC is they're choke artists. They cannot come through in the clutch. I don't mind if you get beat in the clutch, right? I don't mind when a team makes a big play, right? Sometimes the other kid's got a scholarship and he's making big plays and you got to learn to live with that. I thought, you know, Oregon and Ohio State, same thing. No one lost that game. It was just two heavyweight, you know, teams and Oregon made a play or two more than Ohio State did. USC is actively losing games by being undisciplined and piss poor in situational football.
I think the other thing that Lincoln Riley is realizing, and I think he realized it a little bit last year, but when he was at Oklahoma in the Big 12, he had so much more talent than everyone that it didn't matter. And they didn't go up against any top 10, even 15 defenses. And so now that you're in the Big Ten, and even a little bit when he was in the Pac-12, you're going up against top 15, top 10 defenses, and you're getting exposed on where he didn't recruit. He doesn't like recruiting in the trenches. They still only have one 300-pound defensive lineman, yep. And the tackle play that they have on the offensive line is horrific. What they need to do is go out and recruit Matter Day and St. John's Bosco, and you should be dominating your area in LA and getting those offensive linemen to come in, because if you get those guys to come in and you give them a year or two, they're going to turn into one of the better O-lines in the country. I mean, I know Texas didn't show it against Georgia, but they're one of the better O-lines, and that's what Sark did when he came in right away. He got the offensive lineman that he wanted from the high schools in that area.
So it's all right there in his backyard, and he just doesn't...
It's not working. For whatever reason, it is not resonating. And you know, some people are going to say their NIL is a bit of a mess. Other people say that, you know that his eye's off the ball and that he's not. There's been some talk that I've seen on Twitter where some of the modern day people are saying they don't even come to our school. That Lincoln Riley is trying to go down into Texas. He's trying to go down into Florida. And a lot of the California people are like, well, F you, man. You don't want to look at us. Then we'll send our guys somewhere else.
That's just weird.
He's not taking care of his backyard and that he's not being well received. And I'm not trying to say that there's a similarity here. I guess I kind of am. I just don't want it to go to this level. You know where I heard this? And it's not the same because one's in Seattle and one's in down in LA. There's different recruiting beds. This is what you heard about Jimmy Lake. That Jimmy Lake came in and pissed off a lot of the local high school talent. And when you go down and you're in Texas and you're in Louisiana, you're in Alabama, you're down in Florida. Certainly when you go to Southern California, I don't think this applies as much when you're in Oregon and Washington, because there's just not that many kids. Dude, you better get in good with the high schools. You better put a fence around your area. And they're not getting the national kids they're looking for, which is one thing, but they're losing out on California's best kids. And a lot of those kids are going to Oregon. A lot of those kids are going to Texas. A lot of the kids are going across the country. And Lincoln Riley is just, he's not hitting
on. So could it be that when they hired him, he just went back to what he knew, and that was the areas that he used to recruit
possible
players?
Absolutely. Yeah.
He also doesn't relate to O-linemen. Like, it's very clear. Yeah. O-linemen and D-linemen, they're a little bit different, and you kind of have to be a little more hard-nosed, and he doesn't relate to them.
Couple of texts, Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Maybe USC is tanking for the number one prospect. Trust the process. Oh, wait.
Well, this season's gone, and next season is a big one for Lincoln Riley. Like, I don't think he can afford four or five losses next
one year. More, he's probably fired. Yeah. USC killed the Pac-12 after Larry Scott and the presidents, of course. I hope they continue to suck forever. Yeah. That's fair. I get that. Yeah, but it just makes the old Pac-12 look bad when USC goes to the Big Ten and can't even get out of Maryland.
But I would also like to point out that anyone that thinks that, the original plan for the Big Ten was Oregon and USC, and then the TV network said, no, we want just the LA school. So whoever would have been tagged to go along with USC would have done it. So you can blame USC, but had Fox come and said, we want Oregon and USC, or we want Oregon and Washington, or we want who, anyone would have gone. So you'd be mad at USC, but that's, I don't know. That's
all right. Well,
that's a little, to me, misguided.
I saw somebody on the tweets over the weekend say, did Lincoln Riley set two blue bloods back in one move? I thought that was pretty funny and kind of true, because Oklahoma's struggling.
They look bad.
So life comes at you fast. USC was ranked as high as number 9. Now they're tied with UCLA just ahead of Purdue for last in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Isn't that wild?
It is crazy.
They're tied with UCLA, dude.
Yep. The only thing you can say about USC as opposed to like Oklahoma is because you're losing these games, you would think that another year of hopefully decent recruiting, another year under a defensive scheme, another year of Lincoln Riley pulling his head out of his ass, that next year it shouldn't be. If you are 10% better than what you are right now, you're a top 10 team in the country. So if you're looking for a bright side for USC, is Florida State looks like they've got a mountain to climb. Oklahoma looks like they've got a large hill to climb. USC just has to get out of their own way and go over a couple speed bumps, and they'll be okay on the other side. It's just a question of whether they can.
All right, college football audio next. Jim Mora Jr. is up to his old tricks, and Kenny Dillingham may just get his kicker.
Dilly dilly.
On The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Now to some college football audio we have for you from the weekend. Did you hear Kenny Dillingham's little rant that he had to apologize for?
Yeah, he called out his kicker. I thought it was actually kind of funny. Maybe not the best thing for your, you know.
Well, he called out his kicking game.
His kicking game.
But then he had to apologize because he said, well, when you call out, unlike the offense or defense, when you call out the kicking game, you're essentially just calling out one player, and that is your kicker.
Yes.
So he had to apologize for that. But here's a little bit of what he said after the game. This is what he had to apologize for. It's about a minute. Arizona State coach Kenny Dillingham, they lost to Cincinnati.
And by the way, they've had a nice year considering no one thought much of Arizona State.
You can be aggressive, but just because you convert doesn't guarantee that you make it one possession. So you would hope that you can make, you know, a kick, one of those. But our kicking game's atrocious. So if you can kick and you're at Arizona State, email me, right? We're going to have kicking tryouts on Monday. So bring it on, kicking tryouts Monday. Let's go. Yeah, I'm dead serious. We're going to put it out on our social. We're going to have a kicking tryout on Monday. We got to find somebody who can make a field goal. It makes it even harder, like, late in games when it's clearly a kick scenario. Like, that's when it gets really hard because you're like, ah, it's clearly a kick. Like, you definitely want to take points here. There's no doubt in your mind. And he hadn't had a kick this game. He was kicking good pregame, so I felt good about it. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, we got to do a better job getting him in the better mental state to kick. But at the same token, I got to do a job, and I got to get guys on the field that can perform in those situations as well. And, you know, we'll go to work, and we'll get better, and we'll – have a tryout and see if somebody's good enough. And if somebody's not, then you know what? Status quo, keep going to work. If somebody is, then you know, we'll add them to the team and rock and roll from there.
Yeah.
First of all, I only just now noticed he sounds just like Chip Kelly. Talks fast.
You guys shut up.
Sorry, Chip.
But there are reports now that he may have found his kicker.
Yeah, there's a guy that posted on, because he said, I'm going to post it to our socials. And some guy didn't even wait. I guess he's a soccer player. He's been at Arizona State for a couple years. And he's like, hey, I've been trying to walk on and you guys won't let me. And he posted some clips of him kicking like 55-yard field goals. Now, granted, just with a, you know, no defense and from a tee, or I guess like a stand. But my man was drilling him. It's like, Kenny, give me a call.
They said he's an aviation student.
Yeah.
And his name is Nolan Krinsky. And apparently he has been going out to a local soccer field and practicing for 2 years.
Yeah, and trying to get someone's attention.
So he tagged Kenny Dillingham in a post, and the people, Dillingham didn't, but the people on his staff got a hold of him. And at 11 a.m. tomorrow, this guy is going to kick for Dillingham.
Yeah. Well, they've missed two extra points this year, and unfortunately, they are 7-for-13 on field goals.
That's not as bad as I thought. But
7-for-13?
Well, I mean, look, it's college. They're not exactly all Brandon Aubrey. Yeah, by the way, Brandon Aubrey, I was reading about Nolan, this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Brandon Aubrey was like some like engineer straight out of the 9-to-5 workforce?
No.
Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Yeah, and he's like,
he's arguably the best kicker in the NFL.
Awesome.
Yeah, and he just
kicks for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He was a brick salesman.
What he was?
Yeah.
Well, this happens all the time. I mean, not to Brandon Aubrey levels, but like, I had a kid that I played high school football with, great guy, a couple years older than me, kicked at Washington State, undrafted, whatever, and a couple, you know, practice squads like me got cut and was working at UPS, and the Seattle Seahawks called him up because of some injuries. And I think Ryan Lindell ended up playing like 9 years in the league, kicked for the Seahawks, kicked for the Bills. Had a nice little career, made a couple $1 million. And he, same thing, he was driving for UPS, and they called him on a Sunday night, and he was in Seattle for a tryout because he was local. And he drove up like the 3 hours from Vancouver, drove up to Seattle, had a tryout on Monday. Tuesday, he was on the team, and Sunday, he was kicking field goals and didn't look back. That does happen. You know, it's like, it's hard to break into the league because there's not that many jobs, but there's a lot of guys that are capable of doing it. They just need a chance.
So I'm looking here at the place kicker rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever looked at the place kicker rankings in college?
Oh, no.
They have that on PFF?
They have it on team rankings.
I have no idea.
.com.
Like, you just, honestly, this is one of those that
what's the Arizona State kicker's name?
I think Hershey is his last name. Don't quote me on that, but.
Not quoting.
I'll take a look-see here for you. Hey, yeah, look at me. Ian Hershey.
Ian Hershey.
And then they went to the other kid, and he sucks too. So.
Oh, he's not even in the top 100.
Yeah, they don't have someone.
It's not good. Where's Atticus?
Sappington?
Yeah, he's 50th.
Yeah, he had his own issues at the start of the year.
He's at 80%.
Then went to the other bro who kicked like the long one.
There are several guys who have not missed a kick. Penn State's kicker.
Yeah.
Hasn't missed a kick.
It's funny is that as the season goes on, you just kind of hear through the announcement, you're like, oh yeah, they've got a good kicker, and then you learn who does and yeah. who doesn't
but
have
it,
one.
But it comes, I mean, that's a big deal.
Oh yeah.
You need a good kicker.
Well, and look, kicking's like quarterback play, and that there's not enough good kickers to go around in the NFL, let alone in college football.
For sure. Yeah. That's why kids from the aviation program can come out and suddenly be a college kicker.
Yeah. We had one like that. We had a walk-on at BYU that ended up being our kicker and being a pretty good one, too. I don't remember if he was – I don't know if he just came out of nowhere, but he was a walk-on, and then like a year or two later, he was our guy, and he's a good kid, good kicker. Long snappers that way a lot, too. Those have like tryouts. You know, hey, if you can long snap, come on out. And our long snapper was the worst-looking college football player of all time.
They're never good-looking.
Well, he's like
– they're always dumpy.
Yeah. Dude, he was like 5'10", like 240.
Ooh, this is a good question.
He was the worst looking. He's the worst looking body to ever play college football, and we were like, dude, that guy's on the same scholarship we are. We're like, God bless him, man.
Who is the best looking kicker of all time?
Ooh. Janikowski.
What?
He was great looking, dude. That guy rocked. He was fat with a beer belly, ripping cigs.
Yeah, I did
that
say
guy
best
rocks.
Looking, right?
Yeah, you said best. Now.
Justin Tucker's not a bad looking dude.
Yeah, Tucker's a good looking guy. You'll laugh, but the kid I was talking about at BYU, our kicker, he went on to be a male model and was, I believe he married a Playboy playmate.
Wow.
Yeah.
But was he packing like Arnold Palmer?
He was doing okay.
Wait, you know that?
Yeah.
Taking peeks, huh?
Everyone looks.
Just a little side eye.
Yeah. Owen Potchman.
Oh, I know that name.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a handsome. Yeah, this was our kicker. Good dude. I don't think he really.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
I don't think he made it big in the NFL, but he played.
Right.
Yeah, and he was with He was with a Playboy playmate.
Right.
So does that, you know?
Yeah, I saw him. I looked him up. Hey, doing my homework over here.
BYU kid done good.
All right, coming up next, you're going to hear what Jim Mora Jr. Yelled about it this time. I don't know if you remember him, but he's still coaching
at UConn
now.
I think that's what happens when you've exhausted all
hey, shut up.
Yeah.
Your goodwill, you just end up at UConn.
And he's pissed. So we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.